Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John and with me is Steve.
Hey, it's me. It's Steve. Hi.
Yes, joining us again. How's it been going over there?
It's going. It's fine.
I haven't seen you in, it's just about a year now, right? Since the lockdown started?
It's been about a year, although I do still talk to you at least twice a week.
Well, you're one of the lucky ones, I guess. There's at least that.
Yep.
Fortunately, we've kept our jobs, and actually, you've upgraded. Congratulations. But for a lot of people, it's been kind of tough going. One of the developments in fintech that have really helped people has been earned wage access companies that let you have access to your funds before your paycheck. Fortunately, we're lucky to have Matt Kopko, the VP of Public Policy at DailyPay, on with us this week to talk exactly about that.
Great to be here, gentlemen.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Well, first of all, what does a VP of public policy do?
Sure. So what I manage is a portfolio for DailyPay that covers legislative affairs, regulatory affairs, and public affairs. So that includes stakeholder engagement, communications to the press regarding regulatory matters, and exciting forums like this.
Yeah, great. Great. And we're certainly really glad you're here. I imagine with something like people's paychecks, that this is an important role. You want to make sure that you comply with all kinds of rules. This is the kind of thing that has local, state, federal, consumer groups. You must have your hands full with this, at least addressing questions.
For sure. It's definitely a complicated space of policy and law. And frankly, much of what you just said is right on point. And not just from a state versus federal level, there's also multiple different subject matters that you have to keep your eye on. As you guys probably know, whenever you're touching money, obviously, there's a regulatory regime that comes with that. And then if you're involved in people's pay or wages, there's a whole wage and hour component. It touches on taxes as well from the federal level. And you'd think from the letters I receive and the people I talk to, everyone and their mother has an opinion on the industry. So constantly engaging with stakeholders up and down the chain and across the spectrum to make sure that everyone is fully educated on what real-time payroll or on-demand pay is, what it isn't, what it can do for people, and what some of the opportunities are.
Sure. Well, tell us exactly what you guys do at DailyPay.
Sure. So DailyPay is a leading on-demand pay provider. And the easiest way to think about on-demand pay is instead of thinking of your paycheck as a black box that you get every 2 or 4 weeks, imagine if instead it worked more like an ATM. So with DailyPay's system, we work directly with employers. It's a B2B service. It is not generally available to the public. And we work with large corporations to integrate their time and attendance data systems, their accounting, and their payroll systems so that their employees can receive a new benefit called the Daily Pay Benefit. And what that means is through our app, they can watch their earned wage balance grow during a pay period. So instead of, again, getting that black box number every 2 or 4 weeks deposited into your bank account, you can see most of our data syncing is done on a daily basis, but increasingly it's done hourly. You can see as a worker for one of our employer partners, your net take-home pay accumulate on either an hourly or daily basis. And you can use that information just to monitor the balance and understand better how you're accumulating resources and pay over those weeks, or for a very nominal cost, typically just $1.99 or $2.99, you can access your earned income immediately, just like you would access your bank account through an ATM. And again, it's only verified earned wages and verified net take-home pay and nothing more.
Pretty interesting. So from a user perspective, can I get a wage advance, say, twice before a pay cycle, or is there a one-time per pay cycle limit?
Sure. So first of all, if you don't use DailyPay within a given pay period, you don't pay a penny, right? You get your normal full take-home pay in normal course. And then on a voluntary basis, should something arise in life, I know, for example, in my life, I had pay would come due somewhere around the 10th of the month, but rent is due by the 1st and credit card bills are due by the 6th. And life happens in between paychecks, right? So you have that mismatch of of cash flows to cash obligations. And so based on our consumers' desires and needs, only when necessary, they can access daily pay to access their earned wage balance. On average, people use it about once a week. So it kind of really truly is that inter-pay period usage. But you know, some people may have certain things going on. Let's say a partner gets laid off from work, or you have an unexpected car repair issue arise. So it's really more about the access to the fundamental technology of on-demand pay. And we try not to micromanage or tell people, you know, you should only do this, you know, once a month or once a year or however it is, because everyone's life situation is differently. And some people, frankly, use our financial service of our app not at all. They just like monitoring the balance. And that actually is a very valuable component of our app on in and of itself. Typically, people actually monitor their earned wage balance daily, and they might only access the service once a week from a financial transaction standpoint.
Oh, interesting, interesting. And what would, so it sounds like a lot of the end users on your platform tend to be more the hourly wage earners. Are there any other interesting profile characteristics that you've seen in terms of who uses your platform the most?
Yeah, so it's definitely focused on the moderate and low income communities. A lot of hourly workers in the retail space, grocery space. Actually, very interesting kind of case study in the pandemic. A lot of frontline workers actually have access to the service. So it's hospital systems, it's home care systems, it's nursing staffing agencies, and even, you know, other key elements of our economy, like retail and grocery are, you know, at least in my view, those are critical frontline workers who are keeping our economy humming. So, you know, typically the kind of white collar end of the spectrum doesn't have, you know, as much of a burden on them to struggle in between paychecks, but it's a real fact of life for people in the moderate to low part of the income spectrum. And frankly, these communities are the ones that tend to, you know, be subject most to payday lending or other fees, late fees and things like that, that can really eat up, you know, take home pay. You know, by some estimates, it's $100 to $200 a pay cycle or month that can be paid to things like credit card interest, payday loans, late fees and the like. And so, you know, these fees aren't borne evenly across the population. They tend to be concentrated in that low income community. So what we're trying to offer is a solution to people to say, we'd like to be able to give you a pathway to never have to take out a payday loan again. And if you can have access to your earned money, because again, it's yours, right? After you work that day, it's your money. It's just for accounting convenience that your employer hasn't paid it. And if you can, you know, pay $2 to daily pay to avoid a $35 fee, or avoid having to take out something as life-altering as a payday loan, which can suck people into a lifetime cycle of debt, it's a fantastic innovation that has been able to be available now. And it kind of took a lot of things to come together at once, right? It was big data and data integration allowing us to do these enterprise level integrations. And it was the ubiquity of smartphones. And it was also the faith of the average consumer in being able to transact financially on their phones that all kind of came to a head to say, we can finally offer this service to employers large and small across the nation.
Yeah, we've seen this where the underbanked and unbanked people who can least afford it end up paying the most in fees. I think I saw the number well over $1,000 per year. These are additional fees that people higher on the income scale don't pay.
It's expensive being poor, for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's totally regressive. It ends up being pain point for those who can least afford it, for sure. What are some of the concerns? I mean, it sounds like convenient and avoids these fees. What are some of the concerns that people bring up, and who tends to voice those concerns?
Yeah, there are a couple concerns. I think when you're dealing with a service like that, obviously, you know, you're not making new money out of anywhere. So people tend to say, well, what's the long-term impact of a service like this, right? Are you just moving Wednesday's money to Monday so that on Wednesday people have a problem? And again, once you walk people through the data, and I've actually, part of the nice other part of my portfolio and policy includes not just stakeholder engagement, but the research behind it. We did an in-depth study of our users to really understand kind of how we can quantify that. And, you know, critical findings, you know, showed that, you know, you essentially are making new money out of nowhere, because people don't realize how much on average is being sucked out of their paycheck to bank fees and payday loans and credit card interest and late fees and things like that. you know, typically people get to be concerned about saying, well, does this just create a hole in the future that needs to be resolved? And the data actually shows that, someone who has access to a daily pay service or daily pay like service from substitution behavior alone. So that's, you know, literally just reduced reliance on payday and overdraft and late fees, is saving just over about $100 a month. So that's about an extra $100 of money in your paycheck of take home pay, over $1,000 a year that can be directly attributable to a service like that. So we tend to have a nice education session with people who raise those types of concerns. And then I think other concerns people tend to raise are, are consumers properly educated on this service? And that's part of why DailyPay, again, only offers it in a verified employer-based environment. So there's no general solicitation of the public. If you work at one of our employer partners on a non-discriminatory basis, you're entitled to the service in the same terms as any other employee would, just like any other employee benefit. And there is no general solicitation of the public.
Quite interesting. I'm wondering, does DailyPay have a perspective or a take on the efforts to increase the minimum wage? Because that would actually, I'm assuming would affect the financial health of your customers.
Absolutely. I think we tend to engage with this, and some of our employer partners have led the market in terms of offering living wages or pandemic bonuses to people. And we always say at the end of the day, long-term employee health is a comprehensive approach, right? So it's not just an on-demand pay benefit. It's having a real living wage for your employees. It's having additional financial wellness tools. DailyPay recently rolled out, for example, a free savings tool to allow any employee for free to start their own automatic savings program. But at the end of the day, the best thing that is a rising tide that can lift all boats is when an employer moves forward to say, we're gonna increase pay for our employees. And it's always nice to see employer partners do that and lead the market like that.
Interesting. And do your partners, the employees that you work with, do they advertise access to DailyPay as an employee perk? And if so, what kind of effects do you think that has had or may have on things like retention or attracting talent and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that we've seen, part of why the industry and our service has been in such high demand in the past couple of years, and especially during the pandemic, which we should talk about later, is that there's a real win-win here for employers and employees. So, on the employee side, we scratch the surface a bit, but in a world where you have greater control and information, frankly, but greater control and information regarding your earned pay on your terms so that you can have it meet your life where you are, as opposed to when your paycheck hits your bank account, that creates obvious consumer benefit in terms of avoidance of predatory financial products like we've talked about. But then on the employer side, what people are noticing is a twofold employer benefit that ends up adding up to be something very substantial for employers, which is part of why a lot of large employers are jumping into the space. It, from what we've seen in our data with our employer partners, increases average retention about 40%, which is kind of a shocking number. We deal with a lot of high turnover industries, right? Like retail or grocery, where some of these partners or some of these industries deal with 300% turnover annually, which is average for them. That means you're turning over employees every 4 months on average. So if you can turn even that average tenure from 4 months to 6 months, or, ultimately, obviously you want to be longer term for that, but that's, lower retraining costs, that's lower job hiring costs. And then similarly on the recruiting side, what we've seen is you get substantially more and higher quality applicants when you can advertise a daily pay benefit. And it's becoming a distinguishing factor in the market where people will actually advertise jobs based on the additional benefit being offered of being able to be paid as frequently as you need to meet your life needs. So, we see substantial benefit on the consumer side to help the average worker make ends meet better. And then, that should be enough, frankly, for employers to offer the service. But there's an extra benefit for employers of retention and tenure, and then also recruiting advantages. So it's this great opportunity where employees love it, employers love it. And so it's, frankly, not a shock that the industry is growing very, very fast.
So I'm always curious about the compliance type of issues and those kinds of obstacles. It's what I'm always afraid of myself, actually. What are some of the things you have to overcome? Are the rules different in each state and every city that you guys have to address? Does that end up being an obstacle to you guys, or slow down a little bit as far as you guys growing?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a new and disruptive technology, and I've built a bit of a career on on representing disruptive and emerging technologies. Before I was at DailyPay, I worked at a company you might have heard of called the Bird Scooter Company, where overnight scooters just appeared all over the globe. I was yeah. Director of policy, and I led their legislative efforts to legalize scooters across the nation. So there is legislative activity affecting the space. About a handful of bills have been introduced at the state level. None have fully passed yet. But generally, compliance function is critical in this industry. And that's part of why DailyPay invested in having a dedicated regulatory head and public policy department.
A top-notch genius in the public policy role.
If you say so, John. But no, compliance is front of mind and central to the DNA of the company. And there, you know, as we alluded to earlier, is a very complicated thicket of laws for compliance purposes. So you have to make sure you're following financial laws, particularly, you know, ensuring that the product is structured so that it's not credit. And we can dive into that deeper. There's been some recent guidance from the CFPB. And frankly, the more you reflect on it, kind of it's common sense from an analytical standpoint that the employer's involvement in the service is actually central to the analysis of whether or not there's a credit product at play here. So there's the whole element of financial laws. And then there's ensuring compliance with wage and hour laws. Because as you know, on a state-by-state basis, there's, you know, frankly, a law for almost anything regarding the payment of wages. And so whether this can be done by a wage deduction or through some other mechanism is a matter that has to be contended with from a compliance standpoint. And then, as I mentioned, you know, employers pay a lot of money to Uncle Sam on behalf of their employees through that employee tax withholding obligation. And it's on DailyPay and other service providers in our space to ensure that the employer remains compliant with their obligations to Uncle Sam through the offering of an on-demand pay platform. So we have kind of maintaining ongoing compliance with the existing laws as they are. We're contending with new laws and regulations as they come into play throughout the country on the state level. And then more recently, late last year, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which is the federal regulator that is kind of the top cop on consumer protection and financial issues, for the first time issued direct guidance on earned wage access in late 2020. And it was very gratifying and affirming to read that guidance. We were, you know, not involved in petitioning the CFPB to issue that guidance, but the first few pages alone, it was kind of like almost reading some of the same talking points that we had talked about in terms of the number of people who are paid just once or twice a month by their employers, the dangers and real harm of predatory financial alternatives, and the idea that you can turn a payday loan into just $2 is something that obviously has clear consumer benefit. And in late 2020, the CFPB laid out a framework. It was introductory partial guidance, and it was a narrow opinion. But they discussed seven factors regarding EWA programs that are very heavily weighted towards an employer-based approach. You know, factor one was literally whether or not the provider has a contract with the employer. Factor two is whether employer data is used to verify net take-home pay. There are other factors in there about requiring payroll integration, you know, not allowing individual employee underwriting, which is part of why you heard me earlier mention that this is a fully non-discriminatory service for DailyPay. We offer it to every employee on the same terms. We don't care what your income level is. We don't care the color of your skin, your gender, where you live. If you are an eligible employee for one of our employer partners, you get the same benefit the way everyone else would. So it was very, very exciting and satisfying to see the CFPB weigh into the space with positive things to say. I think there will, of course, on an ongoing basis, be more to come, but I definitely have my hands full.
I can imagine, Matt, you are breathing a big sigh of relief when you read that. It's always nice to be in alignment with your regulator.
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice to see.
You see those emails, you know, I get all the regular legislation and regulatory developments tracking, and you get these emails that just say all caps, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau does ... And that's where my inbox drops off. And then you're sweating until you actually click into the email and read, it issued guidance on my industry. And wait, the first two pages seem to suggest that it's coming in a very positive fashion. So
they stole this from our website. This is crazy.
And I'll tell you, we're fine with that.
Yeah, sure. You know, you keep a close watch on the industry in terms of these kinds of issues. Has there been a fintech or related company that you've seen that got into some compliance trouble that you were just like, why they should have totally avoided that?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we really do see and has become a thorny issue in the industry is drawing lines about what is and isn't an earned wage access provider. And as you heard me mention earlier, you know, a lot of these problems in terms of regulatory analysis really truly melt away when the employer is at the table, because the basic theory behind earned wage access, again, you know, I think we discussed earlier, obviously, if you work a day and you quit at the end of the day or you're fired at the end of the day, you know, no one questions that that's your money that you're going to get paid it. And in fact, some states actually have an additional law that says in that circumstance, you're paid immediately. So the fundamental concept behind earned wage access is this is yours when you earn it. It is your money. It's been earned by you. And it's just an accounting convenience that you haven't been paid it yet. And actually similar to, for example, equity in a whole life insurance policy, right? When you access that equity, you're not borrowing from yourself. You're accessing your own asset. And so when you think about the phrase earned wage access, right? Kind of one of the most critical, oh, each word is frankly critical, but earned wages are the most fundamental element of the construct. And without the employer at the table who can tell you, hey, I verified your time clock data, and hey, I verified all your accounting elections, and I've confirmed there's no garnishments on file, there's no other real reliable way or verified way to have earned wages. And then on top of that, when you're in an employer integrated environment, it's automatically handled through payroll. It's like this seamless magical process, right? Where an employee can, you know, almost like a bank account, monitor this balance running over time, and they press a button and all of a sudden money appears in their bank account. And then they seamlessly get their entire net paycheck minus the amounts they've accessed early on payday. There's no debiting the bank account after you're paid to take the money back. There's no repayment. It's a seamless payroll process. And all of that together kind of combines to why it's really more like a real-time payroll service as opposed to a lending service. And without the employer, that all falls apart, right? Because without the employer, you don't know to draw the line on whether $127 or $129 were earned yesterday. And you also can't have automatic resolution. So you're left with a business model without the employer that involves estimating or guessing wages, providing money to people over the internet, and because you don't have payroll integration, debiting and taking it back from their bank account later. So, you know, I don't know what you think, John, but if I gave you money and I took it back from you on Friday and charged a fee for that, frankly, even if I didn't charge a fee for that, that sounds a lot like a loan to me. And that's a fundamentally different service than a real-time payroll service. So, you know, long-winded way of getting to the answer to your question, what we've seen is people who try to end run the employer run into trouble with this service because it fundamentally looks much more like credit without the employer at the table. And I understand why people are trying to do that, because it has taken us a lot of time to win these Fortune 500 contracts. I mean, you have to court them for 2 years and you have to win a competitive RFP process. You have to build customized technology to integrate into their time management systems and their payroll systems. You have to, you know, have the partnerships that we have with companies like ADP and others that are part of the financial infrastructure of the payroll system. And yeah, in a vacuum, I would think, oh man, wouldn't it be just easier if I end run that whole process and just went directly to the consumer? Well, you're now a payday lender. And so it's very critical to make sure that we avoid being categorized into that general area. And we found, you know, companies who are, you know, marauding as earned wage access providers get into a lot of trouble when they try to do it without the employer involved.
Partnering with ADP must have been a huge coup. Are you the only earned wage access company to partner with them?
We have a very deep partnership with ADP that spans multiple work streams. I believe they offer multiple earned wage access solutions through their app marketplace, but we do consider our relationship with ADP very special and are very proud of it.
So what is the next stage of development for DailyPay? Are you guys expanding geographically, offering new products? How do you guys go? What do you guys do from here?
Sure. Well, the short answer is yes, John. We are, you know, obviously compliance is a key consideration. So for every new jurisdiction you go into, you have to make sure that you're compliant. But we are excited to be on the cusp of offering these services outside the United States. We've also rolled out additional features for employees, like I've noted, which, for example, are our save feature that allows anyone for free to start an automatic savings program. And then we're also rolling out more and more employer side products and services. So we have one thing we've learned, you know, our clients are not just corporations, but the payroll departments, and really understanding them and their headaches is something that's kind of near and dear to our business, because our job is to make their job easier, not just through offering an on-demand pay benefit, but what else we can do. So we've recently rolled out some tools that'll help them much more seamlessly process off-cycle payments. You know, I wasn't a payroll expert before this space, but One thing we've learned from our payroll practitioner experts is that processing off-cycle payments is a very time-consuming and headache process generally for them. So we've built a tool to help them do that seamlessly through the Daily Pay portal as well. And then one other very exciting thing that we're very proud of is we've recently announced the development of our Extend PX platform, which is our pay experience platform. And as you can imagine, John, you know, with more and more of the economy picking up on this being kind of more of a need to have than a nice to have, Daily Pay is very well positioned to be the underlying technology that powers the entire industry. So we're in the process of offering a solution that allows a financial institution or a corporation that doesn't want to do it through the Daily Pay brand to be able to use our technology and payments rails to offer this solution, you know, on a white label basis. So we're very excited that, you know, one day we'll probably be everywhere and nowhere in terms of offering on-demand pay.
Is there something you would change about the market or technology that would help you guys?
I think we're definitely, you know, I don't know what inning you'd pick if you're in a baseball game. Maybe it's three or four right about now. We're past what I would say is the early adopter phase. And then we're kind of trying to move into the general acceptance phase right now. So that just requires, you know, a lot of continuous education. And then also just continuing to contend with the stakeholder community. And frankly, you know, there's always that risk that one or two bad actors spoil the party for everyone. So we are in an odd position of having to kind of informally police our peers and ensure that no one tries to cut corners so that next thing you know, a regulator is starting to challenge and ask questions of every industry participant. And we find ourselves, you know, regularly in the situation of being able to be very candid and forthcoming with regulators, which is a nice end result of being a good actor in the space. But we are from time to time asked questions by regulators regarding, oh, hey, we've seen one of your competitors doing this or that. Can you please confirm whether you do it as well? And the answer ends up being, well, no, of course not. And so a lot of, you know, just on, yeah. ongoing, you know, there's a very interesting reach out we had during coronavirus, for example, where some people were, and you've probably seen this actually more recently, actually, my wife sent me an Instagram ad from yesterday where people are advertising, hey, you know, go bring your stimulus check and you'll get XYZ over here. And I think people were very concerned about unscrupulous financial providers trying to take advantage of people and get their stimulus check. And so we were asked, for example, questionings about our COVID related marketing because other people had started offering to say, hey, bring your stimulus check to us and we'll do XYZ for you. And we were able to very kindly respond back. Of course, here are all the ads that we've run during the past few months. There's nothing related to stimulus checks or anything like that in there. But it's a constant battle. I mean, the real learning from the pandemic, frankly, is, you know, I don't know what your experience, Steve and John, have been kind of going to stores more recently, but, you know, the stocking is just different than it used to be, right? You used to walk into a store and it was like unquestioned that all the shelves were stocked and filled. Now it's like, oh, half an aisle here is empty. Like it used to be a shocking thing to see, but now it's kind of a fact of life, right? And there's all these, you know, you'll get a run on Clorox wipes because they just came into stock or something at Target, right? And this all kind of really hit everyone upside the head in early 2020 because now the difference between getting paid on Tuesday versus Friday isn't just hypothetical, right? It's, you know, I live a couple minutes from a Walmart and Saturday mornings for most of 2020, there was like a 3-hour line outside of Walmart. And on Tuesday afternoon, there wasn't that line. And that's because people get paid Friday night and they show up Saturday morning at Walmart. And so if you're an employee who has, you know, working one or two jobs, you know, commuting long distances, having a hard enough life as it is, and you have the idea to say, oh man, if I can pay a service like Daily Pay $2, I can avoid 3 hours at Walmart and actually get hand sanitizer when it's in stock, as opposed to when there's a bum rush for it. It's like, you know, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it's a fundamental value to people's lives that was exposed during the pandemic here. And so we had large partners come to us during coronavirus and say, hey, you know, you have a small pilot, for example, going with us. Can you roll this out immediately to the entire nation, to hundreds of thousands of our employees? And it took us about 6 weeks, but we did it. And there have been a couple very, very large accounts that have arisen in 2020, because I think the pandemic shone a spotlight for people on the idea that frequency of pay and access to purchase goods and services on your schedule is becoming critical. There's supply chain disruption. There is just so much uncertainty in the world that this is really more and more kind of no longer, like I said, kind of a nice to have or a hypothetical concept. It hits people, you know, right in the head, right in the front of their face when they're looking to say, well, you know, I have a family to take care of. I don't have the time to wait 3 hours outside of Walmart to only find that everything I need is out of stock because everyone else has showed up at the same time. So I think that's been a huge reflection for us too. And I think that will fuel growth of the industry on an ongoing basis because, you know, I think unfortunately it seems like, you know, uncertainty is here to stay a bit for a while and supply chain disruption is, you know, probably something we're going to see more of as opposed to just this idea that we're just going to bounce back to a pre-COVID world. So I think the case has been, you know, it was probably proven before the pandemic, but it was a spotlight shown on it throughout the pandemic. And now I think people kind of view this as, you know, definitely there's no going back.
It's interesting that you say that access to your paycheck will be something that will stay with us post-COVID. I think that there's also a number of things that I think will be with us even as we get past this. But I'd love to have your view as to what you think, what else will change maybe in the paycheck space. I'm thinking of one thing, for example, I don't know that we need to have either a biweekly or a monthly pay cycle. There should be more flexibility in that. But what do you foresee will happen in the post-COVID world?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of why that exists is once the income taxation regime was put in the early 20th century, employers needed a way to withhold taxes from everyone. Pretty much used to be paid daily before that, right? And so the idea of a paycheck and a withholding statement came as a result of the income tax. And then all that compliance function resulted in lobbying from employers to say, hey, this is a lot of overhead here. I used to pay my employees daily and now they're still clamoring for it daily, but I just can't do it. So, hey, you know, legislator XYZ, can you pass a law that's saying I'm allowed to pay my employees once a month or I'm allowed to pay my employees twice a month? And those laws were passed throughout the 20th century. And so that's why we have this legacy payroll system of the biweekly pay cycle. You know, part of what we've thought to do and part of what we think the solution is and what we think the future is it is much more disruptive to a company, especially a large multinational corporation that has entire payroll teams. They've invested millions of dollars in payroll systems and time clock systems to have to tell them, hey, you have to overhaul everything. When we have this really powerful tool of technology, right, where we can say, we can write APIs that sit on top of your existing processes. And so you can keep processing payroll once a month or twice a month, but the actual experience your employees receive is a much more seamless, flexible experience. And that's where kind of the phrase that I believe we've trademarked has come out of, we call it the pay experience, which is, you know, the experience employees have with their pay. And I think that is going to be something that, you know, people look back a few years from now. And I kind of agree with you that I don't think people are going to think of the staid biweekly paycheck 5 years from now, the way they've thought about it, you know, currently or the last 5 years.
So the employer side or ADP or whoever does the all the tax calculations for you, you get that number from them, right?
Yeah. So it's very important from a compliance standpoint here to make sure you're not disrupting those flows. And Daily Pay actually provides the on-demand pay requests from our own fund sources. We have our own capital markets partners. And we have actually a very large revolving facility that allows us to predict demand and satisfy that demand. Part of why that's critical is, the basic IRS regime is that taxes are required to be withheld at the time of a wage payment. And so we've built all this technology. And part of why I told you about why we build technology to work with the existing system is we don't disrupt the employer's normal course of payment of wages. And our on-demand pay requests, which are inter-pay period transactions, get settled finally upon the payroll run date. And so the nice thing is, from a tax standpoint, we don't disrupt that either, right? Because if an employer had to do an individual deduction or withholding every time an employee wanted a daily pay transaction, the overhead to comply with that on a manual basis would kind of just cause the system to fall on its own. So our system has been very specifically structured to make sure that the employers don't have a disruption to their withholding obligations.
I'm sold. Where can I buy shares?
Well, we're a venture funded company. So if you want to contact our capital markets team, please feel free to reach out. This is not a solicitation or an offer of securities.
That's right. So Matt's a lawyer, by the way. Yeah.
So we are a very fast growing company and we're very excited for what the future brings. I mean, 2020 was a watershed year. You know, a lot of companies and a lot of people went through a very disruptive time. You know, early 2020 was a time where, we definitely went through some turbulence, but we ended up closing out 2020 with substantial growth. I mean, you know, venture style substantial growth. So even through a disruptive period like 2020, I think, you know, the market has proven that, you know, there's definitely product market fit here. And we're just very excited to see how high we can soar in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I would have to borrow against my next paycheck to buy those shares anyway. So,
well, I think I know how I can help you with that too.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast. It sounds like you guys are doing really well and providing a great service.
That's what we're trying to do. So really appreciate you guys digging under the hood to understand the why behind the what.
Yeah. Keep up the good work. That's Matt Kopko, VP of Public Policy at DailyPay. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And thank you for listening.